What makes good software? Some of the material presented in this chapter will be discussed in class. It is your responsibility to ensure you cover all the concepts presented both in class and in this textbook. As we set off on our journey to develop software, it makes sense to take some time to consider what makes good software. That is, what are the characteristics that differentiate good software from bad software? The answer to this question will vary based on how you are connected to the software. A user will likely have a very different list of things that they believe make good software than a developer might have. While a user might be interested in ease of use, a developer might be concerned with the ability to easily modify code. Further still, a client might be focused only on staying within budget. What makes good software? Take a moment to think about the software you've developed or used. Based on your experiences, what makes good software? You may wish to pause this audio to consider this question. When you are ready, press play for more. Now put yourself into the shoes of the various different people who might interact with a software system, the client, the user, future developers, testers, or individuals from other external sources who might influence the design and implementation of software, such as government agencies or professional associations. How do you think they would characterize good software? Ultimately, good software requires three main things: general requirements, legal requirements, and specific requirements. General requirements. General requirements are general in the sense that they apply to all software development. In many cases, general requirements meet the needs of the software designers, coders, and testers. This includes things such as well-documented, readable, modifiable, testable, and portable code. Legal requirements. Legal requirements will vary by location, and whether or not they lead to good software might be debatable. However, at the very least, building these requirements into the software ensures that we can distribute it without getting into trouble, and that's probably a good thing. In Ontario, at least two pieces of legislation affect the design of whatever software we might be building. And there's at least one piece of legislation that we need to be aware of at the federal level. This includes legislation related to spam and privacy, as well as legislation that ensures software is accessible to all Ontarians. These include the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, AODA, the Personal Information Protection and Electronic Documents Act, PIPEDA, and Canada's Anti-Spam Legislation, CASL. The Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, AODA, was established in 2005 to ensure that all Ontarians, regardless of their abilities, have equitable access to physical spaces as well as online. This means that we need to consider potential barriers to any online software or mobile apps that we might develop, including barriers related to impaired motor skills, cognitive functioning, visual or audio challenges, and more. The AODA legislation was also described in stages, with institutions like the University of Guelph beginning the transition to improved accessibility with commitments to achieve different levels of compliance each year. You can find more details about this here. We will explore AODA considerations again later in this manual. The Personal Information Protection and Electronic Documents Act became law in 2000. This law outlines how businesses are allowed to use personal data that are collected as part of their ongoing activities. Federal legislation known as the Canadian Anti-Spam Legislation was enacted in 2014. This law was developed to protect the privacy of Canadians. Of course, new legislation is created all the time, and old laws are rewritten. With this in mind, AODA, PIPEDA, and anti-spam legislation may not be the only pieces of legislation that are important to your design choices. As a software developer, it is essential that you stay up to date on any other laws that might affect how and what you design. Specific requirements. Specific requirements help define the problem we are trying to solve. They identify the what of the system, not the how. That is, a specific requirement tells us something that the system we are designing will need to have for it to be considered a solution to the problem. It does not tell us how to build that thing that is required. In fact, there are probably any number of ways that each requirement could be satisfied. For this reason, a requirement is not an instruction. But what is the difference, and why does it matter when we begin the process of understanding and solving a problem? A quick Google search provides the following definitions of instructions and requirements. Do you see the difference? Instructions. An instruction tells you how to do something. That is, an instruction ultimately is the recipe for a solution to a problem. For the most part, if two people are provided the same list of instructions and the same resources to complete each instruction, they should produce the exact same thing. Requirements. A requirement, on the other hand, tells you what is needed to solve a problem. In that sense, requirements define the problem. And as with most things in life, there are many potential solutions to each problem. But how do we identify the specific requirements of our system? The short answer is through research. Now, before you worry that this means you're going to need to review numerous academic journals and conference proceedings, recognize that research can include scientific literature, peer-reviewed academic journals and conference proceedings, gray literature, research produced by industry that hasn't been peer-reviewed or that is available on reputable blogs, domain expertise, chatting with the client and people familiar with the problem you are trying to solve, user studies, work with the users of the system to ensure you understand their needs. While our work might involve reviewing a few academic papers or gray literature documents, most of the work we do will be informed by domain expertise and user studies. While you might think that this will be simpler than reviewing numerous reports, gathering knowledge from domain experts and user studies takes time and care. In CIS 3750, we'll begin learning some of the skills required to do this. Building good software. Beyond understanding the problem and developing a good list of software requirements, we as developers need to live up to a certain standard to ensure that the software we produce is good. To do this, we need to practice and continue developing excellent coding skills, including keeping up to date on standards and new methods or tools. Develop and practice excellent communication skills within your team, between teams, and with the client and users, and have excellent planning skills to ensure we can deliver what we need to deliver in a timely manner. At this point in your education, we assume that you have excellent coding skills and continue to develop them. For this reason, your coding skills are not a focus of CIS 3750. However, communication and planning are the bedrock of this course. As such, you will spend much of your time in situations to develop your skills in these areas.